Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to the June 25th edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, being joined by Matt Hankins from Team All You Can Eat and the human hand grenade Danny Only. And we've got a pretty big show tonight, but how are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm trying to keep the mosquitoes off me. As long as the mosquitoes stay away, I'll be fine. They love my sugary blood.
From all that sugary southern sweet tea you drink.
It happens. It'll happen to the best of
us. I'm pretty sure Matt Hankins got a mosquito diabetes.
For the whole population of Georgia ought to be doing bad by now, because I think they've all had a sample. I am the embodiment of all you can eat.
Oh, I don't know. I think Corey might have you beat.
As long as he's around, I'm always second. That's fine with me.
Yeah,
I just got to keep him going.
Well, tonight we have Jerry Palmer, who, if I understand correctly, used to own NWA Anarchy and then sold it, and then more recently has come back looking to reclaim power with the NWA Elite faction. And he's going to be a big part of a, is it a 12-man tag match next week, Danny?
Yeah. Jerry got a case of sour grapes. That's all it is. He used to own Anarchy, and he sold it. And when he sold it, he didn't like the way it was running and came back. And now he wants to take back over. But sorry, bro. You sold the company. That's how it goes. You know, you didn't see Ted Turner jumping on Raw talking about, you know, I don't like what you're doing at WCW, although the rest of the country thought the same thing. Franklin took a dive for the first 6 to 8 months after he bought the company. Attendance went down, you know, talent had to be rebuilt. Things changed a lot, but he built it back up, you know. So, I don't know what's up with Jerry. He's kind of pissy about the whole thing, so.
Seems like it, and I'm... I think it was a big shock. I guess it was probably about 2 months ago when he joined Jeff G. Bailey and the NWA Elite, who, as far as I know, were always kind of a thorn in his side when he was running the show. So this weekend at Hostile Environment, it's a big 12-man tag. And is he actually wrestling in it, or is he just representing?
I better hope he ain't wrestling.
Well, I know you're on the opposite side of that tag team match, Danny.
Yeah, let me see if I can sprack off from memory. The 12 people are Brian Casanova, that big goopy-eyed son bitch 7, Jacoby Boykins, the Temptation, Sean Tempers, Little Bro Newsom, and the newest member of the NWA Elite, my friend and yours, the Jagged Edge. They're against the six of us, myself and Strychnine, the Hate Junkies, the most dominant tag team in the state of Georgia running. The Son of Satan, Azrael, former NWA Anarchy heavyweight champion, former NWA multi-time tag team champion. Slim J, who is NWA Anarchy. Nemesis, and the Priest of Punishment, Michael Judas.
And how did Brody Ray Chase get involved in this? I see whoever wins the match, it's either he gets power or Jerry Palmer gets power, right?
Brody's the GM.
Oh, he is a GM. Okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he's the GM. He's the GM. So if we win, his GM.
Okay.
Then Palmer becomes GM. And I don't know, man. I mean, I think we got an uphill battle. You know, it was brought to my attention yesterday that I'm the second biggest member of the team. You know, Judas obviously is the biggest, and I'm the second biggest.
That just changed, what, last Saturday? Judas hadn't even been around for a bit and just showed back up. So up until then, you were the biggest member of the team.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and that's, I mean, I'm not a monster. You know, I'm not like Seven or, you know, Jacoby. Those are some big old boys, but they don't really matter. they're dummies. So, you know, we've got Dan Wilson in our corner, and see, Jacoby, he learned that Saturday. He learned that Saturday because I got a feeling they're all going into this thinking the same thing that Jacoby was thinking Saturday when he wanted to fuck around and toy with me. You know, he should have pinned me when he had a chance, but he didn't. So I ended up with a W. And in this case, in this situation, we're not seeking retribution. We're not seeking revenge. It's a power struggle. We win. That's it. So it don't matter how we win. So they could beat the brakes off of us. And you know everybody on that team has had it done to them before and has come back from worse. So I don't think, you know, the Jagged, Seven, Casanova, Jacoby, I don't think they've ever been beat up like that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Slim J's had his ass handed to him in that building for the past 15 years. You know, Azrael and Nemesis have taken their share of whoopings and still come back. Judas, I think, is the only one who ain't really ever got tossed around there. You know, so it doesn't matter how bad they beat us. As long as we get the win at the end, that's all that matters, you know, by hook or by crook. So they need to think about that. Yeah, Jeff Bailey's he's a brainiac, man. He's a damn walking, talking supervillain. And I'm pretty sure that he's already got something in the works that we ain't thought about. But the thing is, despite the fans clapping and cheering for him, Dan Wilson is still that evil, sadistic son of a bitch he was when the Devil's Rejects were tearing people limb from limb. So you can't ever think that he's just resting on his laurels. We got something in mind, too. So I don't know. We'll just see. I'm not one to talk until I do it. So we'll see what happens. But I did paint Jacoby last week, so suck on that.
What else happened on Saturday? I don't think Matt was there. I know I wasn't there. But I know 2 weeks earlier was when the Jagged Edge made his debut there. Or was it 2 weeks ago, or is it longer than that?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's been
right.
So was he involved in the show?
Hell yeah.
On Saturday?
That motherfucker showed up. He showed up Saturday, and after I rolled up Jacoby, like I said, a win is a win. It doesn't matter. After I rolled up Jacoby, the lights went out, and I came back on, and there he goes, standing in the ring, bumping his chest. I took it to him, and, you know, he power slammed me, but, hey, I just got beat up by Jacoby for like 10 minutes, so whatever. Then he came back out again later, same thing. Lights go out, they come back on. You know, like when lights go out for Judas, it's creepy. When the lights go out for Jagged Edge, it just makes me think he didn't pay the power bill and people are following him. So Jagged Edge came out and beat, man, I think he beat the shit out of Nemesis too. And then at the end of the night, it was a tag team match with Slim J and Azrael against, who was it? Yeah, it was Slim and Azrael against Bo, Newsom, and Jacoby. And Slim and Azrael won. Lights went out, came back on, and there was Jagged Edge in the middle of the ring. There was somebody behind him, and the building blew in half because that person standing behind him was Michael Judas. So Jagged was standing in the middle of the ring beating his chest like he was some sort of war gorilla. And when he turned around and saw Judas, that's when things went down. And I gave it to him. He gave Judas some good shots, but he does not know. It ain't me out there. You can't hit me. You can't hit Judas once and knock him down. So they traded blows for a couple, and then the ring got cleared out. And the baby faces stood supreme, as they would say. And we let them know that next week is all the cards are on the table.
And that's really one of the first times that y'all kind of cleared the ring of that bunch. You, they've always snuck attacked you here and there, and they've been the ones standing up at the end of the show. I imagine it felt pretty good to be looking down on them for one.
Yeah, man. It was good to have Judas back because, you know, they roughed them up pretty bad. in the parking lot, I think is what happened. I don't really remember. I don't have the best memory, but...
He's been out for a couple of months, hasn't he?
Yeah, I wasn't at the show. I think we were in Beyond. But they showed what happened to him. You know, they fucked his legs up pretty good. But, dude, he's a monster. So, they didn't kill him. He came back.
Right. Well, I'm sure
Jerry Palmer will have
a different perspective on all that, but we'll be talking to him in just a minute. And then later in the show, Ken Tuccio from BarbershopWindow.com will be calling in to talk about T-shirts. And it's actually the company that makes Danny Only's T-shirt.
Made. We got to get on them. They need to make it again. They're not in the overstock bin anymore, and the people are demanding shirts.
Does that mean they sold out?
Hell yeah.
Oh,
is there
okay.
ever a doubt?
The hot commodity, Jack.
Goddamn right. I know people that didn't even know who I was that got the shirt just because of what it said on it. And I don't know. I know you've seen the picture that was going around Twitter because I got tweeted by B-Boy, and it said it's got a ring, and it says you got three choices, be good, get good, or get out. And everybody started tweeting me that picture, and they're like, oh, look at that, look at that. I'm like, uh-huh. See? You ain't got to be, I said it before, you don't have to have the best body. God knows I don't. I like drinking beer too much to have a six-pack. That's just the way it is. I'm done with it. I said I was going to have a six-pack when I turned 35. Fuck that. I'm not going to have a six-pack because I'd rather drink a six-pack. But I can still go in the ring. I don't let it get in my way, you know? I like pizza too much to have six-pack abs, but I'll fucking still beat your ass. So, I mean, you don't have to be in the best shape. You don't have to be the best technical wrestler. I will never be as good a technical wrestler as Kyle Matthews is. That's fine. But you put me and Kyle in the ring, and you damn sure are going to get a good match. So, I get better every time.
We've seen
you know?
It before.
So, I get better every time I'm in there. I take everything I can from everybody, even scumbags like Jeff Bailey. I listen to what he's telling people. I listen to what he says when he's out there running us down. I listen to what he tells us people when they're in the midst of beating the hell out of me. I take it from everybody. So I get better all the time. So, yeah, people were buying a shirt. Didn't even really know who I was. They just wanted it because it said cool shit on it.
Well, speaking of Jeff G. Bailey and Jerry Palmer, who we were speaking of just a moment ago, we now have Jerry Palmer on the line.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, I tell you, you asked me to call in. I waited just a few minutes to call in rather than our scheduled time. I want to see how much vomit runs out of Danny Only's mouth before he finally just chokes on it or shuts the hell up. It's amazing. Anyway, good evening.
Good evening. How are you tonight?
Just fine. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Sorry I missed the show on Saturday, but it sounds like it wasn't a great night necessarily at the end of the night for NWA Elite going into next Saturday's
show.
A blind
hog finds an acorn every now and then, so it's okay.
Hey, come on now, Palmer. Don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. We ran y'all out. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to give it to us. It happened. We ran y'all out. But I got a question. I got to know. You said it. You said that you didn't like the way things were going. I got to ask, what's with the sour grapes? Why are you so bitter?
You know, Danny, this is certainly not the venue to get this out, but I can tell you those answers will come. But not until, you know, I have a lot of respect for a lot of the guys in that building, you included. However, I'm losing it more and more as the days go on when I hear what you're saying and I see what you're doing, and yet you're too ignorant to see what I'm saying and what I'm doing. You do need an answer to that. But what's amazing to me, you don't see it before I have to spell it out. You get people in that arena week after week after week hollering, sell out, sell out, sell out. I didn't sell out anything. I sold a business. Actually, I got one sold out from under me. See, there's a lot of things you don't know. So, to me, it's all about a loyalty. And the loyalty is, I drove this boat for, 6 years? And took it to the absolute top of pro wrestling. That is the best locker room, still is today, the best locker room in pro wrestling. Now,
I can agree with that.
It's the abomination of the business itself that I'm concerned about and how it came to be. I voluntarily sold the business. I certainly did. I had too many irons in the fire, and I was afraid that NWA Anarchy was going to be the next thing to suffer in my life. So I had to make some adjustments. I did. But, you know, the flim-flam man was on the loose, too. And then to take, you know, the show that we built over so many years and to do some of the things that he's doing and some of the things that he undoubtedly plans to do, it is disturbing. Well, what was more disturbing in a year's absence was how some of you guys bought into this and how you know, I'm the sellout, yet am I the sellout? You guys have sold your soul to the absolute devil. I'm coming off. Jeff G. Bailey's coming off as the devil in this one. That's fine. But I tell you this, before the explanation comes out and before everybody is very clear on what has gone on and what my position is on it, some more folks are going to get hurt, and you're going to be one of those. You've dodged several bullets. There's a couple of you dodged several bullets. I mean, do you really think when I hit Slim J, do you think I was trying to hurt him and put him out of wrestling at that point? Absolutely not.
I don't think it would have mattered. People have been trying to take Slim J out for a long time. It ain't going to happen, Chief.
But not me. But the more these days go on, and the more this stuff builds, and the more tension and animosity builds, and the more aggravation I get from people who, just like you said, you want an explanation. Are you kidding me? You can't see it. You can't see it right in front of you. You know, as much as I did in that building, as much as I did for that building, to continue what was already a legendary building and a legendary production, to take it to a whole different level and continue it, how dare you even ask me why? It's by just me saying, y'all boys better decide which side are you going to be on. For you even question why, you should have jumped on my side immediately, not ask any questions, but y'all are going to do that. So we're going to have to go about it a different way. And it's going to start or continue or take to another level next week at Hostile Environment. That is a dangerous, dangerous thing. And any fan that's listening to this out there, and anybody who doesn't know and doesn't know a supercard show or a big show or you know, in the Church of Southern Wrestling, the quarterly big shows that we have there, they're already special. Hostile Environment is an NWA Anarchy special. It is our show. Between that and Hardcore Hell, those two are our show. Those are two that we stake our name on, that we've staked our name on for several years. And it's odd people don't realize, well, you know, War Games is missing. Well, we had one hell of a cage match a few shows back, a few television tapings back, one that would be hard to be surpassed. So, you know, you don't always throw a cage out there, but it's still Hostile Environment. And anybody that don't think that the top's going to come off that building next Saturday, I don't care if it's 100 degrees, and it will be hot. I suggest bringing ice water and fans because it is supposed to be a nice Georgia summer weekend, 100 degrees and high humidity. It will be miserable in that building, but you won't even know it. But it's also why I get irritated by you guys who are too damn ignorant to see what's right in front of you. I also get irritated at these fans who seem to have developed selective amnesia and a real big case of ignorance also. But those fans need to get over their ignorance long enough to realize, hey, the War Games match is not there. What craziness, what insanity is going to come out of that building Saturday night? Never mind all the issues we got to resolve, and never mind all the high dollar payoffs coming at the end of the night when there's a new general manager standing in the middle of that ring. Just the action, just the mere intensity that's going to come out of that building Saturday night is incredible. It always is, and it always will be. But Danny, it's amazing, man. I you guys are. I don't know. The only thing I know now is I tried reasoning. I tried being a little bit of a dick about the whole thing, and I think the only thing that some of you guys understand is nothing but sheer violence, and that's what's coming. There's already been some. there will be more. I don't know what else to say about it.
It's kind of interesting that you bring that point up because if I do recall correctly, Jerry Palmer, you were in charge of the Anarchy when the Hate Junkies came in there, and we were one of the most, if not the most, violent tag team to come through that building in recent memory. So it's kind of funny that you use that almost as a threat. But I got to ask you something. You talk about all your accolades and all the things that you did in Anarchy, and let me tell you the way that we see it. You didn't do it. The guys that went in there and put their bodies on the line every time, they did it. So when you left, Franklin Dove took over, and we did the same thing. We went out there and we put our bodies on the line every time, and now you come back and you tell us that it's not good enough. That's why everybody's so pissed off at you. So you talk about violence and all that, that's fine. That's fine and dandy. You've seen what I've been through. You've seen what we've all been through. You cannot stop it. You cannot keep us down. It doesn't matter how hard you hit us, we're going to get back up. And them boys you got with the NWA Elite, them boys have been coddled since they've been in there. They ain't been in a real fight. They ain't been put on the line. You saw what happened the last time that the Urban Assault Squad and Chemo went into in there with the Devil's Rejects. You know, it's kind of funny you say we sold our soul to the devil. Well, the damn Devil's Rejects, old man. And you saw what happened. Chemo ain't been in that building since. So when he was put to the test, he was gone. So I want to see what happens to them big old boys in the NWA Elite when they're put to the test.
At an impasse, and we certainly are. I mean, that brings me right back to my same point. I've always said that NWA Anarchy has the most talented roster in professional wrestling. I have said that all along, but something you got to understand, the plan and the overall model of NWA Anarchy from day one, that, no, I didn't do the wrestling, but that was part of the deal. I don't wrestle. I don't. Never claimed to. But the model that was set forth to gather these athletes and to gather this locker room and to put that into motion, I did. I did that. I'm not trying to take away from the locker room. I did that. Not anybody else. I did it. But what you got to understand is, as far as that goes and that model goes, I taught you everything you know up to this point. I didn't teach you everything I know. This is not my first rodeo. This is not my first run with treason. This is not, and we can go on and on about this, but I'm not going to. We are at an impasse. And Saturday night, we need to find a way past that impasse. I'm not going to take my normal route, and I get in front of these people, and I get a microphone in my hand, and I see when I can talk to you on the phone, because me yelling at you ain't going to do me good, you good, the fans any good, because it's nothing but inaudible rhetoric at that point. So I'm not going to do a normal Saturday night's worth of promos, because I can't see those faces. I can't see those faces that back me, my company, and that entire locker room for so many years, and then turn around and those same people be brainwashed and blindsided in a matter of just a few weeks. And then you try to tell them, and you try to tell them, and you try to tell them, and all of a sudden, I'm the bad guy. That's fine. That's fine. We are all at an impasse. Me, you, the Elite, the rest of the Anarchy locker room, the fans, other promotions, we're all at an impasse. And we need to fix that impasse on Saturday night. And I have no doubt in my mind, people ask, they call me a sellout, I guess. Danny, maybe you can help me with this. How am I a sellout? Because I sold out and have joined up with one guy that I battled with every time I turned around for 6 years. The most bitter enemies make very, very strange but successful business partners.
Well, I think that's the question.
I have
most
nothing but respect
have.
For Jeff G. Bailey. And I look back on my career there, and I looked, and the one constant that I had, there were three of them. I had Jeff G. Bailey. Like him or not, and I didn't always like him. But the more I hated him and the more I fought with him, the more I learned to respect this man. And I've learned also now I respect him and I do like him and I see a lot more where he comes from. I had Shadow Jackson was there the day I walked in the door. I have begged, and I have pleaded, and I have done everything. I have not tried to injure him, but hurt him enough to get his attention. And still, he still stands on the other side of the damn fence. I don't get it. Slim J, there the day I walked in the door, was like a brother to me. And still to this day, I've hit him, and we fought, I've begged, I've pleaded, I've been nice, I've tried every way in the world, and the only time I've even got close is to bring heartache and pain on somebody like him. If that's what it takes, Danny, to get my company back and to get this back on the road like it needs to be and the way it should be run, and if necessary, lock the doors, I will. And that includes you, and that includes Shadow Jackson, and that includes Nemesis. Anybody in that locker room not standing on the side of the NWA elite is targeted. Write it down, know it, remember it. And that is from the bottom of the card, a one-shot visitor night, to the top of the card. You go out there and you make an impression, a positive impression, for Franklin Dove's abomination of NWA anarchy, and you just as well to draw a bullseye right square on your back. Because that's where we're at. Now, I don't know any other way to tell you that. We need to change the subject, though. You don't run this radio show, I don't think. I think you just blood-sucked on the back of it. So I haven't heard hardly anything from the man who actually runs this radio show, and that's the guy I actually called to talk to.
Because you ain't stopped flapping your butt sucker.
Yeah.
Well, so far, yeah, I think you've been answering all the questions that we would have been asking, but I am curious about the recent involvement of the Jagged Edge with the NWA Elite, because Danny's had an ongoing... some ongoing problems with him outside of Anarchy, so that
right.
When he shows up there, you know, it's just, how did that all come about?
Well, how did it come about?
I guess I can credit
Danny for that a little bit, to be honest with you. We have been keeping our eye on him for quite some time. I mean, this guy has a military background, as I explained Saturday night. This guy... is a born killer, and he is controlled, and he is disciplined, and as he showed Saturday night, he is without fear. He does not care. He does not care about personal safety, and he certainly doesn't care about anybody else's safety. And coupled with Seven, Casanova, Sean Tempers, Bo, the rest of the NWA Elite, he is just a wonderful, wonderful addition, and we think that he can do great things there. You know, where he comes from, who knows? Who knows? He does have a verifiable military background, as do several guys in the locker room. But this guy has one that is, unless you know just who to talk to, is very dangerous and very classified. And this guy is talented in many sick and twisted ways. And we felt like it was a good addition to the NWA Elite.
Okay. Well,
do you have any reservation, though, Jerry, that Jagged Edge is yet to go bell to bell in the Anarchy ring?
No, I really don't. This guy's proven outside of a wrestling ring. I think some of the challenges this guy has been through in his lifetime probably outweigh what he may see. Now, Saturday night, he may get dangerously close to some limitations that he hasn't seen in a while, but I think it's only that he hasn't seen it in a while. I make no bones about the fact that there is no match in NWA Anarchy under Franklin Dove's watch or mine that is a giveaway. There's none. Any match that's made there is one hell of a competition. There is no doubt. But when you look at things on a technical level, and I'm not talking about technical wrestling, I mean, when you get down to the bare numbers of stuff and the bare facts of stuff, we hold a decided edge. I mean, you know, what Franklin is putting up against us next Saturday night is a beat-down roster, and that is by design, but it's only going to get worse. I'm actually shocked, you know, that he's got as many as he got to say they'll get in that ring. I think it has I hope he has an ambulance reserve, to be honest with you. I want to see people hurt. I want to see people's attention gotten Saturday night. But I want them hurt bad enough to where they can bring themselves back up off the floor and come back to me after I'm general manager and ask me for a job and ask me for a match. Because I believe you can only get back up once you've reached rock bottom. And I think that's what some of these guys next Saturday night are going to have. So, do I think Jagged Edge has a cakewalk in NWA Anarchy? Absolutely not. Nobody cakewalks in NWA Anarchy. But I think we have a decided edge all the way across. And I think this guy helps that. We wouldn't have brought him in. I think we showed with Lane Vassar, Lane's a talented individual, but he lacked that edge. He lacked that certain nature of self-sacrifice. Jagged Edge doesn't have that. He is just as prepared to go down, to die if he needs to. I'm afraid he has that mentality. And Lane Vassar didn't have that. We show what we do when you don't have that discipline. There's no room for that.
Now, there was a seismic tremor Saturday night with the returning Michael Judas. Does that
Certainly.
Shift your focus of what you thought going into this match, up until that point? Did that change things drastically for your side, or are you so confident in your group that, yeah, you know it's going to be a challenge, but you just went on business as usual?
With Judas returning, did that shake me? Is that what you're asking me?
That's what I'm asking.
Are you kidding me? Do you think for 1 second I'm going to underestimate Michael Judas at all, ever? Not me. However, maybe it's you guys that are underestimating. Maybe Jeff G. Bailey and myself knew from the get-go Michael Judas would eventually be back. And the clock was ticking. I'm just surprised he didn't wait till next week to show up. That's something he needs to think about and you need to think about. Maybe I wasn't as shocked as I might have appeared. Maybe I wasn't as shocked as I might have appeared, Danny Only. You think this is my first rodeo, son? I'm not at all surprised. Michael Judas is a machine and an athlete. But we've got a whole list, a laundry list of machines and athletes on the other side of the fence. So do I write him off? Absolutely not. You'd have to kill him, or very nearly kill him, to write him completely off. Now, I'm not going to tell you he's not going to get part of that come Saturday night. I have respect for the man, but enough is enough. Again, this is an impasse. This is an argument that can go on for a lifetime. There is only one way to settle it, and that's in a squared circle, and that is with an extreme level of violence. It's no accident it's going to happen on hostile environment. It's not at all an accident. It's by design. Speaking of by design, it's something I find funny, and I said it a couple weeks ago. What amazes me about these fans who loved and I respected and all this for several years turned out to be a real, real, real big disappointment. Because I made mention, and maybe you can sympathize with this, but it's really, really frustrating. Everybody, guys that call into your show, fly-by-night promoters, fly-by-night wrestlers, backyarders, they all know pro wrestling. Everybody's a promoter. You know that type? I mean, everybody here knows that type. This might be the final thing we ever agree on, Danny Only. Everybody's a promoter. Everybody knows pro wrestling. The people out there listening to this better get one damn thing straight right now. You can throw pro wrestling out the window. Pro wrestling is merely a vehicle right now on a very personal vendetta and mission. You keep talking about all the talent that's involved in this. I am pushing this roster. I am pushing the NWA Elite with Jeff G. Bailey. I am pushing I am on a mission as well as they are. This is where real life crossed into the ring. And you know, and I know, if you know anything about the history of pro wrestling, the most dangerous matches, the most dangerous periods in the sport of pro wrestling, it's when real life crosses over. And, folks, I'm telling you, we are in this. I can't imagine why I am as calm as I am, but don't be fooled by that, Danny. I'm resolved. I'm not calm. I'm pissed. I'd like to crawl through this phone and slap your damn face myself. However, there's a time and a place for that, and it's Saturday night. But people that miss this show, you're going to have to read about it in the paper. This is one of the most dangerous times in pro wrestling. I don't know what else to say. I'm not trying to sell tickets. I don't care if three people come. The bell ringer, the referee, and somebody to help y'all call 911. Because that's all we're going to need Saturday night.
Well, I'm pretty sure we'll remember the number. And if you want to slap anybody, you should slap the person that gave you that stupid hat.
Nah, that hat's not an accident either, Danny. That's what's funny. You guys don't get it. You see everything. You see everything at face value. You don't see anything past face value. Well, you better get the big picture, buddy. And it starts Saturday night. Up to this point, we have been trying to reach out to people and try to understand and try to come to some sort of resolution and understanding. Now, not a lot of people have liked some of the methods. They got so crybaby about stuff here lately that now we've got everybody cries about the umpires when they lose a baseball game or a football game. Now we got you guys starting to do that now. It's absolutely amazing. So
you're talking about that little worm, Brent Wiley? Yeah.
If it's not him, you know, he comes out and he makes a tough decision. I mean, my God, are you upset at Kim Wallace? Kim Wallace manned up and made a call the other night that hurt him to make, and had to continue the match. And you guys thought you were being screwed again. Oh my God, it's the umpire missed the third strike call. And guess what? You came out victorious anyway. I think it was a little bit questionable how you come out victorious, but you did. And yet now, well, it's not all referees. We don't have them all in our pocket. We just got Brent Wiley in our pocket, right? So had Kim Wallace, had you guys ended up on the wrong end of the stick the other night, and Kim Wallace not manned up and said, hey, no, that shoulder was up, you'd have been crying about him. Or if he'd have kept the three count and said, no, that he didn't get a shoulder up, you'd have said, oh, he did right. That's a tired old story, don't you think, Danny? That's a tired story. Yeah, you did. I give you that. You did. And Slim J and Azrael, I'll keep my word. As soon as I'm general manager, one of the first matches I'll make, I'll give them a title shot. I promised it. I'm not going to let them down on that. They deserve it.
All right,
that's what
very
it's about,
well.
Danny. Get people getting what they deserve. And you got it coming. You got it coming Saturday night. I think you and I can have this conversation in a week from now, and I think it's a totally different. I think it's a totally different conversation. I think it is a completely different conversation.
Well, we will all see what happens on Saturday. Is it at 8 p.m. or 7?
Bell time is at 8. Doors open about 7:15 to 7:30. It's going to be extremely hot. I suggest everybody dress comfortably, as always, at the Church of Southern Wrestling. It's a Georgia venue. It's a Georgia summer. It's going to be hot. It's going to be muggy. I think all that goes away at 8 o'clock, though. I think at 8 o'clock it becomes an absolute display of some of the best professional wrestlers on the planet and some of the best action that anybody could ever see. It always is. And I think at the end of the night, you're going to see some people learn some very hard lessons in a very violent fashion. And you know, a lot of people like to watch wrecks. This is going to be one. And at the end of the night, the best thing is you have a new general manager, and we can go on about our business of actually clearing up this abomination, and then we get the real story. And I want to see your face, Danny Only, when the real story comes out.
I'm sorry, I'm watching Conway Twitty. I didn't hear you.
I'm sure you are.
All right, well, Jerry Palmer, I appreciate you calling in tonight. And if anyone wants to find out about the other matches on that card, you can go to nwaanarchy.net.
and go to Hostile Takeover this Saturday. And we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we get back, we'll be talking to Ken Tuccio from BarbershopWindow.com.
I appreciate you having me. With the exception of your co-host, it's been a pleasure.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, man.
Sure.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? What happened in Columbus on my birthday? Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling at the Academy Theater in Avondale State. We're also at the Masquerade every month or so. Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Champions of Wrestling. And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire,
formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, and still on the line with Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins and the Human Hand Grenade Danny Only. And we are now being joined by BarbershopWindow.com's Ken Tuccio. How are you
doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Good. I hope you're wearing a cool T-shirt tonight.
I own way too many cool T-shirts at this point. It's overflowing in the dressers in my bedroom. It drives my girlfriend crazy, let me tell you.
Well, for those who don't know, BarbershopWindow.com is a wrestling T-shirt company. It's actually, I think WWE has kind of taken some cues from you with their new line of shirts. I think they're called the Kayfabe series or whatever.
Taking some cues is one way to word it, but yeah.
Yeah. So you guys are responsible for the hashtag heel shirts, lots of different indie wrestler shirts like Sami Callihan and Danny Only, and just lots of parody kind of wrestling shirts. I'm just curious, how did it all come about? How did you get that off the ground?
I actually had the idea probably around a decade ago, but... You know, I was pretty young at that time. I was, in my early 20s, and I had no idea how to properly start up a business. The concept was basically just trying to fill a void in the wrestling world. I mean, I'm a wrestling fan, and I'm a music fan. You know, I like wearing shirts that support the band that I like. You know, I'm one of those guys. I'm a big jam band fan. I wear shirts that have Fish and Moe and Dave Matthews Band and guys like those. And I said to myself, I'm never embarrassed going to a bar wearing a Dave Matthews T-shirt or wearing a Fish T-shirt, but I would never in my life walk into the bar wearing a shirt with a shirtless CM Punk on it. You know, and to me that was a void. So the entire goal was to come up with wrestling T-shirts that were wearable. You know, the qualification for every T-shirt we do is it has to be something that we can wear in a bar without feeling embarrassed or feeling like you're standing out or, you know, looking extremely gaudy. So that's kind of what we try to do. And, you know, take inside wrestling phrases that, you know, fans will get and non-wrestling fans will just look at and shrug their shoulders.
Well, I was looking at some of your, I don't know if they're newer ones, but they're ones I haven't seen before last night. And one of my new favorites is the Sheamus one that took me a few seconds to get, but it says, it's a shameful thing, lobster head.
Yeah.
And now whenever I hear his song, those are the lyrics that I'm going to hear forever.
That was one of those shirts since we started the site. I mean, we take a lot of fan requests, and that was one of those shirts, I swear, on a weekly basis. We had people asking, when are you going to make a lobster head T-shirt? And the problem is, my goal is to make T-shirts that are wearable, and it's extremely difficult to make a wearable T-shirt related to Sheamus that has something to do with lobster head. You know, so, you know, we did as good as we could on that one. I'm not necessarily sure I would wear that one to the bar, but, you know, people wanted a lobster head T-shirt, and we deliver. So,
what about
that? Yeah, they did the same thing with the too many lines. It was the same deal.
Too many
and
lines.
You want to know what's hilarious about the too many lines T-shirt? Is I have a couple buddies. If you're within my circle of friends, by this point you probably have more workout T-shirts than you know what to do with. And you know, one of my buddies is not even a wrestling fan, and he wears his too many lines T-shirt everywhere. And his wife, it drives her crazy because she has no idea what it means, and neither does he. And he's apparently been stopped by a couple wrestling fans who, you know, understood the reference, and he just, like, shrugs his shoulders. He thinks Sheamus is, like, you know, a fried chicken cook somewhere in Oklahoma. So.
Well, I know.
Out of all the shirts you've made, and for the sake of impartialness, you don't have to say mine, but out of all the shirts that you've made for individual indie wrestlers, what's your favorite one, your favorite design? And besides mine, I'll go ahead and say two that I really like was the Callahan Death Machine, and then the Caleb Conley that was kind of like the Sons of Anarchy look to it. Those are two of my favorites. What's one you really dug?
I like the Caleb Conley one a lot. That was really cool. Caleb actually came up with that idea. Like, you know, he told me, he said, I had this idea for a Sons of Anarchy type thing, and we did that up, and I was really happy with the way that one came out. I like that one. I like the one we did for the Man Scout, Jake Manning. I think that was a really cool-looking T-shirt. It's got, like, the Boy Scout S pressed on it. But, you know, one of the ones I really like a lot, too, besides yours, Danny, of course, is the one we have up right now. We have a Jay Lethal T-shirt up right now, which is a parody on the old Macho Man Madness T-shirt with him behind the cage. And we just released that one today, and I really like that one. And Jay Lethal's thrilled with it, too. I think it's a really cool-looking T-shirt. And it's one of those things where I think TNA had a great opportunity to do merchandise like that with Jay Lethal, and they just missed the boat.
Yeah, they did a lot.
Now, I know of your shirts almost exclusively through Twitter. Is that how you find most people find you, or how do most people find out what you got?
We are the perfect example that social marketing works. You know, we just started purchasing advertising maybe a couple months ago on various outlets. But, you know, we grew based off word of mouth and Facebook and Twitter. You know, we started off with no followers, and now I think we're close to 6,000. You know, we just basically, you know, try to post, try to be active and interactive with fans and take feedback. And, you know, people post pictures of them wearing our shirts, and people become interested, and Twitter's a domino effect. I mean, like Danny, you are a perfect example of Twitter because, you know, you had your fans kind of rally to get a Barbershop Window T-shirt. I remember there was one Saturday, I'm sitting, like, watching TV with my girlfriend, and I got, like, at least 20 emails within, like, a 30-minute span, we want a Danny Only T-shirt, you know?
Awesome.
And that's one of the reasons that we ended up contacting you. Is I'm like, wow, this guy's got a fan base, and they're interested in doing it. And, you know, Twitter's amazing in that regard. If you know how to utilize it correctly, you can build an entire business around it, and that's what we did. We built an entire business around Twitter and Facebook, and now we're starting to branch off into more traditional forms of advertising. But, you know, it works for us. It's basically word of mouth, which, in my opinion, is the best way to grow.
what was the build like? Did it just start? Because it seemed like to me it just exploded. Like I saw someone tweet, you know, someone I followed retweeted one of your shirts, and I was like, well, I'm going to buy every shirt they release from now on. It just seemed like it exploded to me. Is that how it happened, or was it just a very slow, methodical build that you witnessed?
It was much quicker than I anticipated. We started the company. We're not even a year old. We started the company in October. We started the company in October, and the goal for me personally was to sell 5 shirts a week because I really started this up just kind of as a little side business. I thought it would be fun, you know, design some fun T-shirts, maybe make a little extra money on the side. But this is where Twitter comes in because what ended up happening is some wrestlers started retweeting it. Like you just said, like some people who you followed tweeted about it, and then you started following. And that's exactly what happened. You know, people just liked the shirts, and they bought the shirts, and they started retweeting about it, and before you knew it, it completely blew up. I mean, we went from, you know, the first shirt we did was Too Many Limes, and I think we sold maybe 5 or 6 of those in the entire first week that we listed them. And, you know, now we do numbers that are much higher than that. I mean, we're very fortunate. It blew up much quicker than I had ever anticipated. If you had told me in October that, you know, we would have been mentioned on NXT, that we would have been regularly, that we would have been, you know, something that influences that possibly influences WWE's merchandising, you know, arm. You know, I would have thought you were absolutely crazy, but, you know, it's grown to that level, and we're very fortunate. I mean, it's really cool to be able to go to wrestling shows pretty much anywhere in the country and at one point or another see somebody wearing a Barbershop Window T-shirt. That's probably the best compliment I could ever receive.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about, I was watching NXT a few weeks ago when they mentioned Barbershop Window, and did you know that was going to happen before it happened, or did you just hear about it later or happen to hear it yourself?
I had heard rumors from a couple friends that you might want to watch NXT this week, but I was very complimented that made the air. I was surprised that made the air because the magic of editing, you wouldn't think WWE would want that to happen. But,
right.
You know, it made the air, and it was quite the compliment. I mean, I personally, I've been watching wrestling my entire life. I mean, I'm 29 years old. I've been watching wrestling since the first one I can possibly remember. And I cannot remember on any WWE programming a company that is not funded by the WWE being mentioned by name. They very rarely even mention WCW. I can't remember them ever mentioning TNA.
Right.
You know, the only thing I can think of that ever came close was when they promoted Mick Foley's book for Countdown to Lockdown. But that was more them supporting someone who has a good relationship with the company. I mean, we have, you know, we're an independent company. For us to be mentioned on WWE television, that's quite the compliment. And, you know, we were very happy, and we thank Matt Stryker for doing that.
Well, you mentioned the Jay Lethal shirt. Oh, go ahead, Matt.
Were you concerned at all about, like, drawing legal ire from them if anything got too close to something that they didn't like?
We are very careful. There's a line that you can cross, and we try to get as close to it as possible, but we are never intentionally going to attempt to violate any copyrights or trademarks by WWE. And in the event any situations come up where the WWE might want their eyebrow with it, I personally live 10 minutes from Titan Towers. I live 10 minutes from the offices in Stanford. You know, we will work hand-in-hand with the WWE in whatever they want. You know, we believe, and we've told this to people in the past, we believe that we can work hand-in-hand with the WWE, that we can both coexist. All we want to do is basically come up with cool T-shirts. We're not looking to violate anyone's copyright or trademarks. You know, and if situations come up, we'll work with them in a professional manner. That's basically all we're looking at.
Well, speaking of that, what I was going to say was you mentioned the Jay Lethal shirt that came out today, and I believe this other one, that the Hard Times Cobb County Department of Corrections shirt, was that also out today?
Yes.
Because I just noticed them on the site today. So that's a perfect example of, I think, what Matt was talking about. And coincidentally, it has a local connection for us here in Georgia. But,
how big an area is Cobb County down in Georgia? I'm not going to lie. When I was a kid, like 6-7 years old, I always thought Cobb County was like parts unknown. I thought it was a fictional area.
Very real.
Yeah, it's a pretty big, it's one of the bigger suburban counties of Atlanta, and Marietta's in Cobb County, which is a fairly big city. Six Flags is in Cobb County, so it's pretty big. And that's where the Big Boss Man actually was from.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
But so these two shirts you just came out with today, what do you have planned in the near future? Any new releases coming up?
Well, we have new releases every Monday and Thursday.
Okay.
You know, every Monday and Thursday we do new releases, and every Monday night we're going to be launching it in probably around 5-10 minutes, whatever Ross starts. We do a special T-shirt every Monday night, a bargain T-shirt, which is less expensive than our regular ones. We don't really have a schedule in mind. I mean, we kind of just wing it. I mean, honestly, our releases are normally decided on, you know, while we're having a few beers the night before we actually list them. You know, we're very laid back people. We're a very laid back company. We don't take this too seriously. This is an amazing ride. We're lucky to be on it, and we're just looking to have fun and make T-shirts and make whatever little tiny impact we can make on the wrestling world. You know, we're just trying to have a lot of fun with it. We're taking it day by day and just enjoying ourselves.
All right. Well, can you tell us any specific designs that might be coming out in the next week or two?
We have a backlog of probably 20 to 30 designs that are in our queue. And honestly, we'll probably decide on what's coming out on Thursday at 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. That's honest to goodness the way it works. And sometimes they're hits, sometimes they're misses, but, you know, it's always just fun to try them out. So.
Cool. Well, I guess we need to kind of wrap things up because you mentioned you have a post to do before Raw comes on. So I guess one quick last question is, Danny Only, we mentioned earlier in the show, his shirt sold out. Is there any chance you'll re-release those or anything, or come out with a new Danny Only shirt maybe?
That's something we can definitely do. We've got to come up with another idea. I know you wanted to do the Get Better and Get Out last time, so maybe we could do something else for you. Come up with a different idea and, you know, do something special. We can maybe do a special price for your listeners on the show. Do something really special for Danny.
Awesome, dude. You're the man. And I got to tell you, I know you. I imagine you got the email from me first. And you're like, who is this guy? Which, you know, I don't blame you. I had no idea who it was, but you know the fact that when you got all the other emails, you were like, wow, this guy actually does have a following. Let's do something with it. It was really cool. So I definitely appreciate you guys doing it, and I love everything that you guys do, and you know, from Sugar Dunkerton's shirt to Sammy Callahan's to What a Maneuver. I mean, I'm a big fan of pretty much all of them. So,
we appreciate working with you too. I mean, that's the big thing is we want, you know, it's funny because a lot of the people who follow us on Twitter are wrestling fans who are the WWE fans, you know, they're the kids who care about John Cena and Rey Mysterio, and a lot of them will make the comments like, I don't know of a guy like Caleb Conley, I don't know of a Danny Omi, I don't know of a Sammy Callahan or Sugar Dunkerton, and that's one of the things that I'm, you know, very big about with this site, is I want to expose wrestling fans to wrestlers they might not know about. Like, I wanted people to be able to go on YouTube and start looking for Danny Omi promos, and start looking for Danny Omi matches, and Caleb Conley and Sammy Callahan, and you know, much the way, you know, when I was first getting into the indies, I saw guys like Reckless Youth and Chris Daniels and guys like that. I want them to, you know, start exposing themselves to wrestling outside of the WWE. And if that's something we can do through merchandise, that's just awesome for me. You know, if we can, you know, do that, that's win-win for everybody.
And if I can speak for Team All You Can Eat for 1 second, we certainly appreciate the 4X. We are men of ample stature, and we really need that extra room. So I know that's extra cost. I know how much that costs to make shirts that big, and your efforts are not lost on us.
Hey, you know what? We offer 5X now.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, you feel free to eat a little extra Christmas dinner this year.
So it is cake tonight, boys. It is cake tonight.
You going to base your eating habits around what size barbershop window T-shirt you can fit into?
I certainly am. If I thought I could have got a 5X Kamala, I would have been eating like a crazy man the last month.
All right. Well, Ken, thanks for calling in, and we all appreciate what you do with the shirts, and we'll definitely keep ordering and looking for new ones.
Sounds good. Well, thank you guys for having me, and you know, you guys have a great night, all right?
All right, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, so before we go tonight, I want to mention a few upcoming shows. XWF is going to be this Friday at its new location at a place called the Blue Dolphin in Carrollton. Of course, there's Empire Wrestling at Academy Theater on Friday, NWA Anarchy's Hostile Takeover, which we talked plenty about.
Hostile Environment.
Is it Hostile Environment?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I've been saying it wrong the whole time, but I think people got the gist of it.
Yeah, they got it.
Anyway, so that's Saturday. And I know TNT is doing a special Sunday show this Sunday, July 1st. And next week's guest will be Matt Sexcells. And I believe Mr. Pump Your Brakes wants to call in next week as well. So did you have any other guests lined up for next week, Danny? I don't think you did.
No, none that I can think of right now.
All right. Well, we will be back next Monday at 8 p.m., and our guests will be Matt Sexcells and Mr. Pump Your Brakes. Do you have any trivia this week?
Happen to have a fun fact?
I actually do have a fun fact. Let me see. Which one am I going to pick? Little known fact that the longest pubes on record actually belong to Mayoni V of Cape Town, whose pubic hair measured 32 inches from the armpits and 28 inches from her vagina. That, my friend, is disgusting. Oh, and actually, I got a twofer. There's two fun facts. One was about the longest pubic hair, and the other is about the biggest bitch in indie wrestling. And next week, I'm going to bust your ass, Jagged Edge. That message was brought to you by Danny only. Have a good night.
All right. Thanks, Danny.
And
we'll
call in and talk shit now because we're getting off the air.
All right, everyone, have a good week. We'll be back next Monday.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.